Well, you pet stylist, you found the Broom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Welcome. And hi, Susie. What's up today?
Welcome to episode 243 of the Groom Pod, recorded on February 23rd, 2020 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, and The Absorber. This week we're talking scissors all over the place. Scissor care, buying shears, and keeping them clean. Let me tell you about our newest sponsor, which is the Absorber Towel from DogLoversTowel.com. The Absorber Towel is magical, Barbara. I'm loving every day with the Absorber Towel. It is making my life so much better, especially with the big hairy dogs and even with the little teeny tiny dogs. I'm finding more uses for it every single day. It feels like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser, so you need to get it wet. I warm it up with my water from my tank, and I'm just using it like a regular towel. Then in between, I put it in a little Tupperware pot full of vinegar water, and I drive to my next stop, and it's saving me laundry costs and space in my mobile, and the hair and the dirt rinses right off of it. It can also go on your washing machine, and if it dries out, you can just rehydrate it again, and it works just like new. It's really long-lasting, especially if you cut it in half, and by cutting it in half, it makes it much easier to wring out. So that's what I've done with mine. So if you guys are interested, you need to go to DogLoversTowel.com. That's DogLoversTowel.com. Barbara, how was your week?
It was, it was uneventful. So
that makes two of us.
Well, let me, you know, Susie, every week we do this. We have this, how's your week? Never do I think ahead about this segment. You know, I don't even, it always catches me by surprise. And it's always like, oh, well, how was my week? Well, I don't know. I kind of actually have forgotten it and moved on, you know, so.
Well, I'll tell you, I actually cheat a little bit. I pull my schedule up and I look at what I did during the week. Yeah. And then it reminds me of some of the interesting things. So I misnumbered the episodes on the website.
Oh, yeah? Uh-oh. Yeah.
I don't know if anybody cares, but I will go in and fix it. It just takes me a while because I basically have to repost the whole episode with the new title. Even though I can just click on it and have it go through, it still downloads everything, and it takes a bunch of time.
Well, screw that, you know?
No, I want it to be right.
Well, you're a writeaholic. You be willing to be wrong once in a while. Be willing to have there be a mistake.
Oh, there was. I'm owning it, too. It was a horrible misnumbering.
Have you seen the post I just did this morning on the somebody posted an ingredient list for what is apparently a knockoff of the blueberry facial?
I read part of it, yeah. I didn't get through it all.
The biggest thing is that there's so many misspellings in that list of ingredients. They didn't even spell the word ingredients right.
No.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It was very blatantly misspelled. And then they said derived from coconut, and it was like derided twice. They just messed up the word derided. And then they misspelled cocamide propyl betaine. There was five or six just like grievous misspellings, and when there's that many, it really makes you wonder about their integrity.
Absolutely.
It was probably a translation thing, but it was a translation thing without any corrections made.
Yeah, people don't do that. Proofread
but
your
this
stuff.
Website. This came off of the bottle.
I know. Proofread your labels. I'm assuming most of the people who listen to us are not producing their own shampoo labels. So proofread your websites. Proofread your any material you put out there that has your name on it, please. And especially proofread your ingredient list. Oh, my gosh. That's terrible, Barbara.
Well, that many. You know, it's just a blatant disregard of correctness. So that makes you wonder what else there's a blatant disregard of. Because it seems to be apparently non-English speaking. You just wonder if it's coming from China without any integrity. So anyway.
No quality control.
Yeah, there's just poor quality control in China. And it's very up to the individual company. And if they don't have enough quality control to proofread their label ingredients that goes on every single bottle, that just raises serious discomfort for me. Really uncomfortable with that. So I did an interesting thing today that some people are going to say, oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, do tell.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it was yesterday. I only had two dogs scheduled for yesterday, and so I gave Yvonne the day off because she was planning for an important party last night. And I did a hand-stripped terrier and a regular bath and tidy. My new hand-stripped terrier came, and there wasn't anybody else in the shop, and I just had one little quiet dog with me. It was a new border terrier, and it was kind of a 50-ish woman. She was just kind of fun, and in my meeting and greeting period of time, my get acquainted period of time, I liked her. We really did well. So she asked if I would like her to stay and help me strip. And she said, you know, she's done some of it. And I could see that the dog's sides had been stripped more often than the back line, the top line. And she said, you don't have to if you don't want to, but maybe I could help make it easier for you. And I thought, oh, good, my hands would really appreciate that. So I invited her to stay. And we plucked and talked for 2 hours, and it was really okay. It was really nice. The dog was a dream to hand strip. I mean, this little dog just stood and sat there and just never minded her hand stripping. And I was able to do stuff around the head, which I often have to compromise because of it can be really touchy. And it was an all around pleasant experience, and I made $100. So, you know,
nice. Excellent. Way to work with the situation.
Yeah, way to work with the situation. Exactly. Now I got a killer day scheduled on Wednesday. That'll make up some for the less income on Saturday. I didn't mind.
But let me point out, you didn't have to pay Yvonne.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't have to pay Yvonne. And so I had a savings right there. Believe me, I thought about that.
So I've got a couple things to say. I received an email from Olga. You know, she has some advertising emails that she sends out. And she has a comb on there that's called the Eclipse Comb. Have you seen her Eclipse Comb? It's 9-inch comb.
No.
The very end of it is half moon comb.
Yeah.
Just the very end is short, tiny, you know, the close tines, and then with the curve on the end, so you've got the tiny end, and then the rest of it is a regular medium coarse comb all the way out to 9 inches. I think that would be a much more useful tool for me rather than the little teeny tiny one. But I thought it was an interesting comb, so I thought I'd bring it up. If you haven't seen it, go to her website. She's got it. It's called the Eclipse Comb. And even more important, talking about little tiny faces and stuff, I went and did the neighbor's house of the lady whose dog I hacked the eyebrows off of, or the eyelashes, sorry.
Yes.
Right? So, and you know, I'm there for two Pomskies and a Pomeranian. So I'm there for a good 4 hours, maybe a little bit longer over at the neighbor's house. And I know that she drove in while I was working. I saw her drive in. And about 10 minutes after she arrived, she sent me a text message that says, no big deal about the eyelashes. They grow back. So the next appointment works fine. So I wasn't fired.
Great. Phew.
I know. I always hope my winning personality helps me there.
I know. You've been counting on that for your lifetime, girlfriend.
Indeed. That's my ace.
I know. I was the class clown.
Yes, I believe that.
But it was almost all, but it was almost all verbal humor, you know?
Right.
They used to say, my high school junior year class, I was driving, and I was consistently late to first period chemistry class.
Wonder why.
And some of my classmates said, "Oh, Bird, we love it when you're late to class because you tell such funny stories." They say, we like it when you're late. We want to hear how you explain it.
Yes, I love it when you get put on the spot like that and you have to do a real quick, a witty retort, if you will. So the other thing that happened this week is I have my blades, my clipper blades, in a cardboard box that's got all little sections in it, so all the blades go in there individually. And I have a fair amount of blades, I admit it. I have probably more blades than I need. I have the blades that are sharpened and waiting to be used facing one direction.
Yeah.
And the blades that are used and dirty facing the other direction.
And the box fell.
The box.
Yeah, God.
Yep. All over the floor. And I'm trying to figure out which blades are still sharp, which ones aren't sharp, which ones I've used, which ones are too dull. Oh, my gosh. What a nightmare. I have to figure out a better system.
You know, that box
has fallen apart.
I run into that just because, well, it's not because I'm not well organized, but blades get put down on other surfaces around my table, or I walk to the phone. I mean, and shit happens. I try to keep it all in order. I need a larger blade box because I have too many. I have to create some most likely to use and least likely to use kind of distinctions because I have some cheap blades that I don't really like at all. But when somebody else cleans up after me, she sometimes mixes up. I might have had the dull blades over by the telephone, so I would remember that these are the ones I want to give to the sharpener, and somehow they find their way back into my table area, you know, and then I put them back in the case, and I have to rediscover their dullness in use. So that's one thing that you could do, is you could just, like, stop trying to solve it now. Just keep all of them available, and as you use one and it doesn't work, put it in the sharpen box, you know. And
good
yeah,
idea.
Yeah.
And get a second box,
get a
Susie. What are you, an idiot?
Yeah.
Me
too. I'm an idiot too.
Yeah.
Where do you get your boxes?
I was just looking them up. There's, you know, those little colored ones that La Bay used to have.
They don't.
Yeah, they still make those.
I have a.
Was it La Bay? I don't know.
No, it wasn't. They were blue. I have two of them.
Mine is pink, but they started out with all blue, and then they branched out a little bit. So there's that one. There's also one that's in a case that folds up like this, and then there's a black version that hangs on the wall of the slots for the case. So there's like three or four different ones out there. Plus, there's a really cool aluminum box that has clipper cases, like you would carry your photographic equipment in. There's one of those, too. That just seems like a little overkill, but still.
Post some pictures so we can choose.
Okay.
Only if it's easy. I just realized that time is a huge issue for you. And here I'm asking you to shop for me, but But you know what? I have to avoid the shopping sites. I don't care where it is, because I'll find my way back to Amazon and then I'm gone. Then I'm gone.
Yep. Okay, speaking of shopping, we are slowly reaching our goal to get Barbara a washing machine. And she went and looked at washing machines. And theoretically, there's some coming in. We're buying her a used washer. And Maria Overnas gave us a contribution. So I wanted to thank her for that. And if you guys want to contribute.
Thank you. Thank you.
If you want to contribute to the washing machine fund, just go to our website, thegroompod.com, and click on the donation button. And anything that comes through that way, we will put directly into buying Barbara a new washer that she doesn't have to have sex with while it's on the...
It has sex with me. I just lean up against it.
Quick break. We're going to hear from Best Shot, and then we'll be back with our first segment, which, well, it really... The whole show is about scissor, but we're going to start with scissor anatomy and scissor care. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out BestShotPet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's BestShotPet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. All right, Barbara, I was researching like a banshee this morning, looking for new information about scissor care, and it turns out that scissor care is pretty basic, and that the information kind of is tried and true. And it doesn't matter if it was put up in 2007 or 2020, it is still good, viable information. So let's start with describing all the parts of the scissors. So I pulled up a nice diagram that I got off the internet.
You know, I wrote a book on it.
I do. I think I may even have that.
It's out of print, but it's got a good anatomy of the scissor. I should maybe not mention this because it's out of print is the operative word here is out of print. However, it's still in my mind. Yeah, no, I couldn't just dig out the file and reprint it because now all the pictures are outdated and there's more information. I would end up kind of redoing the thing, which I don't have time for when I only sell two a year.
Correct.
F that, right?
Yeah,
right.
Not a good use of time. Okay, well, let's start from the pointy end, okay? The pointy end, the point or the tip of the scissors.
Which could be round, round tip.
Great, right. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. Did you get that? That was a pun. Good point.
Yeah, I think it's really important to have a pair of ball tip scissors for which you can use around herky jerky dogs with less likelihood of poking them in the eyeball, right?
Right. I have a pair of
Fromm.
But they're out in the barn. I should go get them.
I use Fromm. Mm-hmm. Fromm with the blue plastic handles, and they last for years.
That's what
they're
mine are.
They're the best cheap shit scissor on the market.
Excellent. Good. I did it again. Another pun. Oh, my God. Okay. Then you've got the blade of the scissor, which has a couple components to it. It's got the inner blade, which is the flat surface that meets up with the other half of the flat surface of the blade. And then it has the edge, which is the cutting surface of the blade. And it has the back, which is opposite of the cutting surface of the blade. And I didn't really find a description for the other side of the blade. Is it just the outside of the blade?
Yeah, inside and outside. Yep.
Let us talk about the edge, since we're there. No, well, let's just do all the anatomy and then we'll come back to the edge, okay. All right? So moving down, you've got the pivot point or fulcrum. Is that correct? Fulcrum?
Fulcrum, yeah.
Do you know that term?
It's the balance point.
Okay, so that's where the tension knob, dial, screw, whatever it is that your particular shears are attached with, that's where that is. And sometimes underneath that, there'll even be some other stuff like a ball bearing sometimes, or some hinges or a plate or stuff like that inside between the area where the fulcrum is. Then you've got the handle, and the handle consists of the shank, which is the longest bit, the neck, which is where it connects to the finger ring thing, and then the rings, which have components as well. And the components to the rings are the insert, the tang, or rest, and the bumper. And that's it, right? Did I get everything?
Well, one thing in the rings, there may be an inner ring.
Right.
You know, like that sometimes...
The insert...
Well, not just the insert, but, you know, like with the Evolution shears, there's a double swivel inner ring. There can be an inner and an outer ring.
That's actually one of the differences between the Evolution shears swivels and the other people's swivels is they're double swivels. So they swivel both directions. And I love to mess with that when I'm not actually doing any scissoring. I just play with that little thing. It's like a little finger swing.
You are such a fourth grader.
All right, let's talk cutting edge. Barbara, there are three, really four or five, if you count all the
individuals. I would say three, really.
Okay, so we'll go with three. So there is the beveled edge. Now, Barbara, am I correct in saying that the beveled edge also used to be called the German edge?
Right, because it is the simple bevel edge that came out of Germany that was very important in stainless steel. Yeah, it's a simple bevel edge where the very outer part of the blade is beveled at a, I think it's a, well, the angle can kind of differ, and I'm not very sure I remember the angle. But if the scissor sharpener doesn't know the exact angle, you won't like your scissors so much anymore.
Would you say that they are heavier generally to use?
Well, They can be, because and only because almost all of the lightweight scissors now are convex edges, which is the other kind of an edge. But yeah, they tend to be a little wider blades and so on. But there are some, I have some very slim bevel edge scissors, and I think they're really nice to have. I like scissoring with a bevel edge. I seem to make less mistakes, and I don't do a lot of really fine plush scissoring with my bevel edge shears, but I sure do feet trimming. That's another thing, that you can have a bevel edge serrated blade. That was something that was missing from your vocabulary there, is that the very...
Actually, that is what they call the third style of blade. They've actually put serrated or corrugated blades into a third category this one website. That's why I said two, maybe three, maybe four.
No, the third kind for me is the hybrid edge between a somewhat beveled convex edge. Let's just...
Okay.
So that's
okay,
a hybrid.
Okay, well, let's talk serrated and corrugated. So... When they do the serrated or corrugated edge, they have usually one blade of the set is straight and not serrated, and then the other one is serrated. When I was reading and playing YouTube videos about scissor care, a lot of comments I heard about this particular situation is that it doesn't necessarily cut, but often tears the hair and leaves a little bit of a rough edge, which then is kind of damaging the hair. Do you have any opinion on that?
What?
They said it left it, it rather than, since it's not too smooth blades, that it tends to tear the hair in half.
I disagree with that. I think that's wrong.
That's why I thought I'd ask.
That's what I think is wrong. So if the situation is that the scissors are tearing the hair instead of cutting it, it's because the other blade is not sharp. It's not a function of the serration. The serration actually serves to hold the hair while the other blade slices it. So it when you have mirror sharp both blades, those blades can really push the hair and you don't get as clean a cut as you would with the serration. And corrugation is usually done a little bit more roughly. I mean, my boss used to use a file, and he would file the corrugated side of the blade, you know. But what you really like is micro serration, because your hair is micro, or the dog's hair is micro. So you just want this very subtle micro serration. And if you have a German-style bevel-edged shear, when you get it and it has serration, be sure to ask your sharpener, do they have a micro serration machine? Because if they're hand serrating it, it's not micro. TMI?
All right. Yes. Okay. No, it's exactly what I wanted to know, because I inundated myself with information this morning. So I got a lot of different opinions and a lot of hairdresser opinions over pet stylist opinions. So I wasn't sure how valid they were and all of that. Anyway, moving on to the convex edge, which I believe was also called the Japanese edge, right?
Because it first emerged from Japanese hairdressers. Interestingly enough, to this day, barbers more use the German edge, and hairdressers mostly use the Japanese edge.
Interesting.
Yeah, so sometimes if you're shopping online you want to find a good German edge blade, you look for barber shop scissors, barbering scissors.
Ah, good tip. Another good tip
from the bird.
So the Japanese edge, the convex edge, it gives you it's what they use to do the really plush finish.
Yeah,
right?
Just gives the finest cut, and it's very precise and very It just doesn't, those blades are not so good for bulk cutting. Like if you have a farm dog and you're trying to cut off the dreadlocks or something, you wouldn't want to use a convex scissor, because they might actually damage if you're rough, it's going to damage. It's very easy to damage a convex shear, and they cost more to sharpen, and there are people that don't know how to sharpen them well and grind off way too much metal. And so if you have convex shears, you want to put them in your good shear box and use it for finish work. And if you want a good rough out shear, you get a German style, and you can use that on dirtier coat. And you know, the German edge is kind of
Energizer bunny.
Okay, so the German edge scissors are the, what did you, fuck.
Energizer bunny. Little bun bun. Little energizer. Little pink bunny with a drum.
I can. Okay. Oh, God. I think we're going to laugh our way through my onset of dementia.
And we'll do it together, okay. Though. It'll be good.
We'll
enjoy it.
I'm sure. That was the fastest forget ever.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, the Energizer Bunny.
Beveled. I couldn't, what was also funny was that there for 5 minutes, I couldn't think of the word beveled after I just talked about it. Then all of a sudden it was gone and I was stuck with German.
Yep.
Thank God I had another way to.
Always good to have a backup.
Backup vocabulary,
Yes.
Okay. Now, what I'm trying to say is that the convex edge is more delicate. That's an important distinction between the two types of edge. It's more contemporary. It's more sought after. It's more branded as top quality.
Okay.
But the truth is that your bevel edge scissors are just as high quality in their own way. And both of them have a certain mechanics on how they work. And by the way, you have to have your scissors at the right tension level in order to get good scissoring. And one of the things that groomers do that's unfortunate is they have adjustable thumb screw on their scissors, they loosen it up so much that it's sloppy, and then it really doesn't cut as well. You're going to bend hair, because they really have to meet. Those blades have to meet. And when you loosen them
up. And it puts additional pressure on your hands if you're trying to use your hands to
guide them. It's a mixed blessing, that screw.
What about the hybrid? Then how do they combine those?
I'm actually not real sure, but I think it is a partially beveled edge. I don't really know. Okay, but I know that it's a more popular blade with dog scissors because most of the time groomers don't have to do plush work. I mean, there's some groomers that can groom for years without ever scissor finishing to be shown, right? We have one here today, folks.
you can have
quite an illustrious career in grooming without scissoring a plush coat. Yeah, you need to get a shared. I'm moving now into choosing shears, so you probably want to stop me.
Okay, stop there because we're going to talk about storing your shears before we move on to choosing your shears. I have one of those plastic racks with the holes in it. I have two of them, and that's where my scissors hang in the grooming trailer. So they can't really hit anything. They can't hit each other. It's also within arm's length of the table. So rather than setting them down on the table, then I will automatically go to the rack because it's right there, and I have a muscle memory of where every different shear is in the rack. I always put them back in the same order. So that works really well for me. But some people use a drawer. And the problem with a drawer is your stuff can bang together. So that's not ideal, is it?
It's not ideal at all. Because once the blades get out of balance by knocking together, they can start be partially dull. They don't scissor well. And maybe they don't scissor at all. I'm just always kind of horrified when I see nice scissors all jumbled in a pile in a box. There are, however, some options. Just the other day, I saw a cutlery organizer that had these slots that I thought might make a good scissor holder kind of in a drawer. You know, there are things that you can put in the drawer that help to separate and hold the scissors. But actually, hanging in those plastic things is a perfectly good way. Except that, depending on how long your scissors are for the lower hole, sometimes they can bang against that lower hole in the holder. I'm only speaking for mobiles, because you know when you hit a rocky terrain, or maybe you're speeding to the next appointment, as I used to do, you know.
I know well.
Things can move around in the back there, and they can, those blades can be dancing in that holder.
So if I was in a stationery shop, I have seen those little cup holders with the beads in them that people stick their shears into. Do those work all right?
Oh, well, I haven't done beads, although I have makeup brushes in a holder like that, an acrylic holder. I have the kind of scissor holder that's a like an open canister with it almost looks like tiny straws in it, and you can take out this core and wash it, and then and dry it, and
then
put it back. I'm actually thinking of getting another one. And the ones for groomers are the best. And I think you can still get them at pedigreegrooming.com. And the Pet Agree. So we're not talking about pet the any other thing. Pet Agree. And they come in different colors. And you can get 10 or more shears in there if you have to. But they're heavy enough that you can put these canisters on the table. And with most grooming, it's not going to get knocked off.
It looks like Schoenbow makes one, and also the Root scissor holder.
The Root is the one that I have. You don't want to get one that's just for hairdressers, or it'll be real short and light and not suitable for 7-inch and above grooming shears.
The Schoenbow one looks like it's pretty good. It's for dogs and cats. So that one as well, that's on Amazon. So the most important thing, I think, is if you have to set your scissors out, or you're taking them in and out to home or to a different shop or something like that, is to just make sure you don't set them somewhere where they can get knocked on the ground, because a lot of damage gets done by being knocked on the ground. They have those the little wallets that you can put your scissors in. So if you do have to travel with them, put them in the little wallet and zip them up so they're nice and safely tucked in their little house and they won't get damaged. They even have big wallets where you can stick multiple pairs of shears in there and roll
double
them up
rolls.
Like knife
I
blades.
Have several of those rolls. Yeah, I've got a green one, a red one, and a couple of black ones, and they work good. And they're leather inside, and leather is recommended for shear care because of its ability to wick moisture away from the metal. Did you know that?
There's also the little holster that clips on your belt. I think Sue Zucco uses those, a little leather holster.
What I learned, I thought I would do well with a holster because I move between two rooms and two grooming tables during the day, and I'm always taking tools from one grooming station over to the other one and then not having them when I return. And so I was thought a holster would be real good, but it's only good if you stand all the time, because as soon as you sit down, it gets awkward.
I can reach my lower rack from sitting, but my upper rack is a little too high. I have to stand up to get to the upper rack, so I had to rearrange because of that, because of the sitting thing. Yeah, but I've still made it work. I just have the least used scissors up top and the most used scissors down below. And instead of having them color coordinated by type and curved and straights together that in matching pairs. And yeah, anyway, boy, I have issues.
I have three rows of scissors on my pegboard because I have some of these pegboard attachments that I can use for scissor holders. And I have thinners, straights, and curves. I think it's best to organize them by function rather than by color, my dear.
Really? Okay.
How can the words, my dear, seem to be condescending? You know? What a sweet little expression. And then it's just like a fucking bullet.
Okay, let's talk about our routine in using our scissors. So now let's talk after work. When we get done at the end of the day, wipe the shears off with one of those little leather cloths, or is that the little leather cloth that they give you with the scissors?
Piece of chamois, yeah.
And then put a drop of oil in front and behind the pivot points,
right.
And then work your shears a little bit, and then take a little and spread it down the blades and store them. That's your nighttime thing. And leave them a little coated, especially if you have a grooming trailer that's wet. You can leave a little bit of oil on the blades to try to eliminate any risk of rusting.
I've never oiled my blades.
That's because you don't live in a grooming trailer that has issues. That's the problem. Then Randy from Precision Sharp came up with this for me, so it works
really well. It
sounds
good, yeah.
It works well. But in the morning, then, you have to wipe that oil off because you don't want oil on your blades assisting the hair to fold or to head down the blade without getting cut. So you want to wipe that oil off in the morning.
I don't always use the chamois, come to think of it. I will use a soft fiber cloth.
Microfiber?
Yeah, microfiber cloth, yeah. to wipe and clean them. What else do I do with them? Jeez, I don't know. I usually...
When you come in, you wipe it down. And then for me, that's when I spray it with alcohol spray. Before I'm going to start my grooming day, after I've cleaned the blades, then I spray the blades with alcohol. And then I groom for the day. Now, once a week, I do a little bit more maintenance than I do just every day. And what I mean by that is I take my scissors in a horizontal position, horizontal to the floor, so like parallel to the floor. And I open the blades up and I put one drop of oil on the handle side of the pivot. Then I turn the scissors vertical and I work the thumb blade gently up and down with no pressure. And what that does is it very gently, with gravity's help, pulls the hair out of the pivot point with the oil. And then you can wipe it off. You can actually see it after you've done that like 15 or 20 times, how the hair has fallen out of that hinge. So I do that like once a week to get the hairs that you can't see out of there. Do you do that?
No, I didn't know about that, be honest with you.
No, it works pretty well.
You and I are kind of the opposites in the equipment maintenance area of pet grooming.
That's why it's so fun.
I would be in such trouble if I had to clean and disinfect my equipment. What if we had to clean and disinfect everything that touched the animal before it touched another animal?
I would have a lot less stuff.
I would have multiple breakdowns.
Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877 877- 560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now, okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Okay, so let's talk about barbicide.
Okay.
Let's talk about scissors that sit in this barbicide. You see this barbicide? It's pretty blue color. They always put it in a tall, round, clear glass. And there's a lot of groomers that use this barbicide. This barbicide has been the go-to sanitizing disinfectant agent for shears since the 1940s when it was invented. And the guy invented it to control for transmissible infections by barbers. And his brother marketed it to beauty salons. So it became a visual emblem of sanitization. I repeat, a visible emblem of sanitation.
Meaning you come into the place and you look for it, and if you see it, it's supposed to bring you comfort.
Yeah, it makes you think, oh, they're sanitizing their products. And in likewise, if the health inspector should do a random check on you, unannounced visit, you've got them right there.
Right.
Now, the truth is, here's a couple of truths. The truth is, the recommended usage of the barbicide is to use fresh product every week. I don't know a single groomer or stylist that dumps their barbicide every week. I think the only person that would gain from that would be Barbicide himself. Yeah. Would
Barbicide.
Be Mr. Barbicide.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Barbie.
Indeed.
Barbicide. Mr. Barbicide wants to sell a lot of products. And the truth is, those bottles of sanitizers are not used as often as you might think. In fact, in my nail salon, they had those at every station and they were never used, and she told me so. She said that it's for the inspector.
Oh.
They don't dump it and they don't change them. It lasts for months. The color never fades. They will put some disposable plastic combs in there. Barbicide ingredients are kind of nasty. And they are not known for being metal friendly. Now, they're not metal unfriendly like bleach, but given a lot of time, if you use the barbicide disinfectant all the time, you might have some damage to the metal. Okay, and especially if you leave your scissors, your metal tools sitting in the barbicide, you're going to have some entryway for rust to occur. So the main ingredient of barbicide is a chemical called alkyl dimethyl benzyl ammonium chloride. And alkyl dimethyl benzyl ammonium chloride is also known as benzalkonium chloride. Benzalkonium chloride is just a nickname or a shortening name for alkyl dimethyl benzyl ammonium chloride. No wonder they found something shorter they could call it, because that doesn't exactly slip out of your tongue, alkyl dimethyl benzyl ammonium chloride, but it's the most active ingredient, and that's a quaternary ammonium compound. And in this long name, it says right there, benzyl ammonium chloride. In the short name, benzalkonium chloride. The onium is the indication that's a quaternized, you know, and that's a synthesized chemical. It's a heavy duty. It can even be used as a pesticide, but it's used even in eye drops, eye medication. It's used in janitorial supplies. It's used in...
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I made that up as I went along, and it surely showed the range of application of benzyl chonium chloride. Real wide range. You know, like, that's what makes a chemical successful, is the more applications it can have, because that's the more sales market, right? It's in everything.
Benzyl chonium chloride.
Benzyl chonium chloride does not cause cancer. However, it has been connected to dermatitis and respiratory ailments.
It definitely gives me a rash.
Yeah. The truth is, benzyl chonium chloride is one of the ingredients I personally try to avoid. It's also the active ingredient in any kennel cleaning liquids that are use the number 256. You see it marketed by different brands, but with that number 256, that shows you that it's got benzyl chlorium, that stuff in it.
Actually, the best shock cleaner has that.
I've pointed that out to Dave, but every company that markets a wide range of products is going to have something in their lineup that I don't care for, right? It's inevitable.
Of course.
It's inevitable. Yeah. So I think it's an icky ingredient. If you want to use a couple of I's, icky ingredient. I avoid it.
All right.
The news could get worse. They're just starting to find out. They put it in the market for hair salons, and I'm sure it wasn't really tested. The founder, the creator of Barbicide, was a chemistry teacher named Maurice King. He created this disinfectant in his bathtub in his New York apartment. Okay?
Oh, I think lots of great things are created in a bathtub, but I don't know that I really want to use them for disinfectants.
Maybe they tested them on some rats. New York, you know.
boo hiss.
You know, I don't know. I would not use it.
Okay. What would be your alternative? Alcohol?
I personally like alcohol. Alcohol in a spray bottle with a few drops of Melaleuca.
Okay. So I'm going to spray my scissors down with that at the end of the day. And we're going to take a break now and talk about how to buy those scissors. So we'll be right back. So Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Buying shears is an addiction, and it's a gnarly addiction. Hi, my name is Susie, and I'm addicted to buying scissors. Ugh. Holy crap, I have more scissors than I need. I've learned not to do it. When you're just starting out as a groomer, you don't know what to buy and what you're gonna need, or how to fit shears to your hands. So my suggestion is always get to a trade show if that's possible to buy your scissors, because you can find people who can help you fit them to your hands. You can try multiple different kinds of shears. Don't you love shopping for shears?
Yes, I also love shears as the owner of probably over 50 pairs of shears. I mean, I see, now that's an addiction, girl. I like shears so much that I became a vendor, because then I got them half price wholesale. Scissors, shears are a great retail item to sell because you can double the price. And believe me, some of these scissors that you see on the marketplace are purchased for something around $15 and sold for something around $350. And I'm not lying.
Wow. So if you can't go to a grooming show, what's your suggestion on buying shears? My thought is you want to go for some that you can return if you don't like them. I'd say that would be a big issue. Buy them from somewhere you know you can return them.
Yeah. What's the difference between shopping at the difference is that at the show you can try the scissors on. However, the truth is we primarily often shop emotionally more than cognitively.
Especially in the feeding frenzy of a trade show floor.
And the feeding, well, especially under the lighting of the display of the vendor, especially. And you'll...
True.
Sometimes I love to go through a trade show and just look at the marketing of, you know, something like the shears. And you'll see everything from lighted acrylic cases with rotating motorized Lazy Susan that is automatically turning around to see all sides of the beautiful shear with little colored lights. Or you can find them just kind of all bundled up and just spread out on a table. Those are usually your less expensive shears.
Do you think spending more money guarantees you a good shear or not?
No.
Okay. I felt the same way, but you've had more experience in it than I have.
No, and that's not to say that the more expensive scissors are not better scissors. They can very well be, but the price does not dictate the quality. Your emotions, you know, like...
Buyer beware.
Buyer beware. Yeah, just know that sometimes... And for some groomers, it also depends on what you need them for. You know, if you're doing barbershop grooming, mostly like clipper cuts with a cute face and a sanitary area clipped out, then you might not need a $350 convex edge finishing shear. But it might look real good at the trade show with the lighting and the other things. And, you know, so be careful. Know what you're using your shears for and get something that's suited for your particular expectations. It's uncountable how many groomers have expensive shears that they've bought at a trade show sitting in a drawer.
I want to mention that, actually. If you buy really expensive, good, actually fantastic shears, make sure you use them. Don't just set them in the trade show and use them for competition only. Use them to finish dogs. That's what they're there for. Don't just throw your money away and then not pick them up and save them for the special occasion. Actually use them. And it looks to me like Barbara has a headache.
Oh, no. I was deep in thought, actually.
Okay. We're massaging the thoughts, right? I was worried.
I'm working with my brain. Come on, baby. Give me some action here this morning, will you? Okay, let me say there's two sides to that. There's two reasons.
Okay.
Some people save their shears for competition grooming, which they're not doing, or maybe they do. And there's other people that put their shears away because they get home and find that they either don't like the way they cut or they're too fast. They don't fit the level of scissoring skills that the average groomer has. They're scary to use, okay? Boy, and I want to tell you that when I use my longer 8-inch shears, I consistently cut myself on the holding my other hand with those big shears. So that's another thing, is that there seems to be this groomer conception, groomer rumor, that the longer you like that?
I really like that. Groomer rumor.
That was my brain, Susie. That was my brain having been massaged a little bit. It came up with groomer rumor. Okay, so there's a groomer rumor that floats around that grabs people, that the longer the shear, the better. And that's not necessarily true. It is true. The longer shear will give you more of a cut.
Less chance to gouge in the middle.
But unless you know how to use those longer shears, you could be cutting yourself. Or you might find that that's a heavier shear and you don't really need, for me, I don't really need a 10-inch shear unless I'm doing a dog that's over 10 inches. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't want to...
I'm using all small shears these days. If I was going to start out, I'd probably go with 7-inch or something like that, or maybe 6.5.
Yeah, 6.5 and 7-inch shears are excellent for doing small dogs and starting out. Especially when you're starting out, you want to gain maximum control of your cutting action. And that's not a function of the scissor. That's a function of your hand. And so you want to start smaller so that you will have good control and then graduate into a larger shear for larger tasks like standard poodles, golden doodles, rear end of a Australian shepherd. You want a nice long curved shear for something like that. But ore is not always better if you're not in the graduate level.
You want to develop the muscle memory and the muscles in your hand to be able to wield those really long sabers and do those really long legs.
Beginning groomers using scissors often use just the first 2 inches from the tip in. They're tipping. They're using the tips of their scissors and they're being cautious. And then they're wondering, why can't I get a plush coat or why can't I get a perfect cut? It's because you're not using the full length of your blade. So whatever size blade you're using, to get the most efficiency out of it, you need to use at least 3/4 of the blade with every cut.
Yep, takes practice. All right, let's gain control of our day, Barbara, and head out the door. So Susie's got extra editing to go. No worries.
you're toeing the line lately, and it's because editing takes so much time, right?
Yes, and it's also because for some reason I have a lot of grooming. I'm getting home at 7 o'clock at night. That gives me like an hour and a half to work on the podcast before I have to do the cat shot and then go to bed. So that's where I'm finding the difficulty, is I just have overbooked myself. So I'm thinking of firing a couple doodles. it's in the future. We'll see. I like them because they're the keyhole visits. You know, I don't have people there. I just go in, let myself in, and do the dogs. But one of the dogs doesn't want to put his feet up anymore. And if I can't lift him in, then they're both out. So I think that might be a good place to start. I'll get a day off back that way, too. All right, Barbara, let's do this next week all over again, though, huh? What do you say?
Okay. I always look forward to our time together, Susie.
Excellent. All right. Thanks for being here. Remember to support our sponsors. Join us on Facebook at the discussion group, facebook.com/group/thegroompod. Happy grooming, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Bye, folks. Take care of yourselves.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.
And alkyl dimethyl benzyl ammonium chloride is also known as where is my mind?